on 103.8 FM.
This is BBC Three Counties Radio.
Melting Pot on a Sunday morning. Now, Watford-based artist Lucien Seneca Morrison was just a toddler when the Nazis invaded Paris and changed her life forever. A new exhibition, A Personal Journey, includes the powerful series of paintings she produced as part of the process of coming to terms with experiences as a Jewish child in Nazi-occupied France, where she survived the war as a hidden child, only to find both her parents had perished in the Holocaust. Judy Herman was lucky enough to be shown round the exhibition at the Eitz Chaim Gallery at Northwood and Pinner Synagogue by Lucien herself.
My name is Lucien Seneca Morrison, but in Polish it's pszenica, which means corn.
Oh, right. Which sort of comes into your pictures in
some way. One of them, you will see this one there, which is called Yesterday, Today, Tomorrow. This is me yesterday, you know, when...
When you were a hidden child?
Well, yes, when hidden and, you know, they broke glass. And picking up the pieces there, and then today, where she's... I am, shall we say, painting tomorrow, really. And in the distance, you can see corn, which is my name, pszenica.
That's fantastic to have to start with an explanation of one of the paintings, because that, in fact, was one of the paintings I had my eye on.
Yes, it's a very important one to me, this one, because it reassesses my whole life, because obviously painting is very important. And it's a very hopeful picture as well.
Yes, but at the same time, you know, we should say that where the glass is broken, it's broken in the shape of the yellow Jewish star.
Oh, yes.
And the shards of glass on the pavement are, you can see they're broken yellow stars. Presumably you again.
That's me, of course, in the whole picture. It's a story from left to right. Yes. So I'm picking up the pieces. That was at the time of my psychotherapy. And, of course, it's very painful when you go over your past.
What's so wonderful, though, is that you have been able to pick up the pieces and that you've proved such an incredibly talented artist. You're French yourself, aren't you?
I am French, yes. I was born in Paris. My parents were Polish and I don't think they were naturalised.
Right, so you were quite tiny when war broke out.
Well, yes, because I was born in 37.
And you're only two, then?
Yes, my father had actually enrolled in the French army to fight the Germans. And then when France capitulated and because of the Vichy regime and so on, he was freed from the army. And at the time, I think we had been told that people who had enrolled in the army would be all right. But in fact, I don't remember how it happened, but they came to fetch him in 42. We were in hiding then, very near where we lived. And then we came out, presumably because we thought it was safe. Just in August, then... My sister, mother and I were taken to the police station. Well, this is the first picture, is actually the arrest. I mean, although these, I've made them look like monsters, but they were in fact two French policemen coming up in civilian clothes. They were not Germans, they're actually French police who came to fetch us. And that's my mother. And I remember standing there, and she was crying and saying, you know, how come that we are being arrested? And then we were taken to the commissariat police. When we got to the police station, my sister and I were very lucky. One of the policemen was living in the small block of flats where we lived, and he said that we were his goddaughters, which wasn't true. And thanks to him, my sister and I were not sent away with my mother.
So you were only
five
when that happened, and you obviously made an incredible impression on you. So how did you survive the war as a hidden child?
Well, I had an uncle, one of my father's brothers, who hadn't been arrested with his wife, and we went in the countryside and stayed with farmers, and semi-hiding, shall we say. So that's how it was during the war.
You seem to remember it quite clearly.
I do, yes, because I don't remember parting from my mother, to tell you the truth. I don't remember that at all. This is me being carried by my mother, I suppose, when there were flames and bombardments and that, you know, to take refuge in the metro. But here, I do remember going once, before my father was deported to Auschwitz, going to Pithiviers. And I do remember holding on to his neck and not wanting to let go. So that's me here.
So that's almost like the last time you saw your father.
It was then. the last time, yes, because yeah. This, although this shows kind of concentration camps in and over there, red smoke to show that these are the gas chambers. This is not me there, because nobody would have gone to visit.
No.
So although it's called a visit, I'm just imagining a scene.
Yes, really. Just you imagining the Germans with their rifles and with their vicious dogs and lines of people. You've made the people yellow this time, yellow like the stars.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got the barbed wire and the crouched figures in striped pyjamas, but it's quite schematic. This really drew my eye, because that looks like it's your experience in the countryside.
It was an experience.
Yes.
It was in the middle of nowhere, that farm, and I was on a long road, and suddenly some planes came flying very low, and I don't know if they were American or yet, or whether they're still German, but I was terrified. I was alone on that road, and I just took refuge under a cow.
So that's exactly what we see. We've got this quite large cow in the middle of the field, looking slightly startled, probably more because you're underneath him, because there's this tiny little girl in a fearful crouch beneath him, and you've got your head on your knee, and above you've got the roaring planes, which look more like bombs with teeth. They look like sharks almost. And there are possibly houses and fire in the background, and another figure obviously terrified. So yes, that's a pretty potent memory, that one.
Yes. This is called the heavy load, because I was in children's home, which were run by a Jewish organization, a very good one.
And this is after the war.
After the war, and I was in there almost 10 years, and the homes were very good. That is me with my heavy suitcase full of memories and being hampered to go forward because of the chains in the eye, shall we say. Then also, you know, children playing and the family with the two children, you know, the peaceful scenes.
All the things you've sort of missed, really. The normality, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, the little naked figure of the girl really being pulled back by the chains over the case. You can't quite move forward at this stage.
That's right.
The case is chained to the ground.
Yes.
And around it, as you say, are the scenes of family life.
I mean, when mother and child there.
Yeah. And a skeleton, I think.
Skeleton,
yes, very
and
sad.
Ruin.
Yes. It's extraordinary the way you do visualise things, and then the way you explain it as well.
Yes.
This is one of my favourite pictures. It's called The Shelling, and it's a naked figure shelling peas. But the peas more than life-size, aren't they? It's an enormous peapod that you're shelling there, and you're sitting on a chair between two hills. But draped over another chair is this amazing suit. It's a bodysuit.
It's body. My skin, yeah. All battered and torn, yeah. Which has been discarded and put on that other chair.
Yes. But we should just describe it. I mean, as I say, it's a grey sort of skin, and it's got a little patchwork heart where your heart would be, and there are all sorts of slashes on it. Are those the wounds of the past, red slashes?
Yes,
on it.
And it's been mended in a few places, and it's dark grey.
It's a wonderful idea. It's almost like you're a snake shedding its skin and you're going on to the next big thing.
That's right, yes.
A hopeful, I love that
picture.
One. So after the war, you had to go through that trauma of finding that there was nobody left and going to the home. But you still managed to rise above that and get to art school.
Well, I was encouraged to do that in the homes. They asked me what I wanted to do, and I said I wanted to do art. So I was sent to art school for 4 years.
So during all that time, so you're living in the home, are you forming attachments to replace your family in some way, or, you know, to sort of make up for your family, or are you just hiding all this trauma? I mean, do you make close friends in the home?
Well, in 10 years I went into about 6 different homes, but a lot of the time it was with the same children that I moved around, so I had one or two friends, certainly, yes.
What about your sister?
And my sister, she got married at the age of 17, when I was still in the homes.
So you're just harbouring all these memories of your parents all this time then? You know, these early memories.
Yes.
But then you seem to be moving on, because obviously you then get married.
Oh, yes. Well, then I left the homes. The homes used to send us to families in Holland or in England, and I was sent to a family here with a group of children. I stayed with a family in Hempstead, and I stayed in touch, and they invited me every year. And at the age of 17, when the home was closing, I came and stayed here with them in Hempstead. Mm. In fact, so that's where I got a new life, really. I abandoned my art studies at that time and concentrated on getting a profession of some sort. So I went to a course at Northwest Polytechnic to do shorthand typing, continued with my studies of English, so I got the Cambridge Certificate of Proficiency in English. And then my teacher at college found an advertisement for the BBC French service as a continuity secretary and said I should apply, which I did. And I got the job, and I stayed on. And then, parallel with that, I continued with some art in the evening, you know, going to Central School of Arts and Crafts. But it was not serious painting like I started to do.
I always felt
that I could do something deep down, you know, but the occasion hadn't come out somehow.
And then, of course, you got married and had children, so that takes up the time too, doesn't it?
Yes, of course, because I wanted to bring them up myself. I was working by then, of course.
And so when did you move into the Watford area?
Well, I've been living in Watford since 1980. I moved here after my divorce.
So how were your children at that time?
I think Ashley was 7 and so Andrew would have been 11.
So it's quite hard for you in Watford as a single parent and for them.
Yes, and hard for them as well. But I had had a profession before I got married. So I was a secretary in foreign languages. So I resumed work as well later on. And then when I started my psychotherapy, then this is when I started painting very seriously.
So that was just drawing on your talent and what you'd learnt in the French art school?
The techniques would be, but obviously it's all highly personal, as you can see.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
I just used the skills I had learned.
But you've been back to college since, haven't you? And you have a whole new existence, aren't you?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I took early retirement at 60. I was dying to get on with some art. And I enrolled at West Arts College to do a 2-year course on fine art printmaking. And that really launched me in that direction. Then I found out that they had another course going. And although I didn't really want another professional diploma in fine art printmaking, I took it on because I wanted to continue to have the use of a bigger press and be with other artists. So this is my second year, and we're ending now at the beginning of July.
Right. So it's fantastic. So there you are, you're a student again. Now you're graduating again.
Well, I think I'm an eternal student. Yeah. Yes. I think I will, I've learned languages, I've learned to play the recorder, I go to a literature group, you know, I'm quite active.
Yeah. And what about your Judaism? Does that play a part in your life at all?
Very mixed feelings still about all that, like perhaps a lot of Jewish people. But I must say that I'm an atheist.
Do you think you would be anyway, or do you think it's because of what you've been through?
No, I think perhaps I would be anyway, because I don't think my parents were religious.
I think they'd be proud of you now, sir.
Well, I hope so.
Fascinating exhibition, fascinating lady as well. That's music from composer Ashley Paul Morrison. A Personal Journey is the exhibition of paintings by his mother, Lucienne Seneca Morrison, and it's at the 8th Chaim Gallery, which is at the Northwood and Pinner Liberal Synagogue until the 19th of July. Give them a ring if you want to go and see it. Make an appointment of you on 01923 822 592 or 01923 820 425. I'll make sure those phone numbers are available. Brendan's got them if you didn't get them down. Lucienne also has a website, which is lucienne-art.co.uk, and you can sort of get some preview images of some of her paintings. She will be at the gallery herself in person between 10 and 1 on Wednesday, the 15th of July. It's Melting Pot. Coming up, we're going to focus